You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view. The people who work in the prison system would have another. And I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4pm on your community radio 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Doin' Time Show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org.au. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio images of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died and graphic discussion of youth suicide and deaths in custody. Last night was the official launch of the Disrupt Land Forces 2024 with an event at Camp Sovereignty called Lest We Forget the Frontier Wars. And there were lots of speeches and ceremonies, and it was quite a wet night, but everything went according to plan. Later on in the show, we will be listening to some recordings from last night's event, starting with Megan Cracker, Menang woman of Noongar Nation and Director of National Suicide Prevention Trauma Recovery Project. And after that, to Walpiti Elder Jamijimpa, Uncle Ned Hargraves, both of whom travelled down for the Festival of Resistance this week. And the content warning that Megan's speech features explicit discussion of police killings, colonial violence, First Nations suicides and youth suicides. Now, we were going to bring you an interview with Ned Hargrave, who was going to talk to us about the injustice of the police shooting of Kumanjaya Walker and death in custody, but we don't know where Ned is. He may still be at the Land Disruption Festival of Resistance, which we'll talk about later. It goes from the 8th to the 14th of September. So we are instead, we're going to interview Kieran second, but we're going to be interviewing him first. And he's from the president of the Black People's Union, First Nations activist. And we were speaking to Kieran last week, and that we're going to be having a continuation of a discussion of the Youth Justice Bill. And I might even ask him a few things about what's happening with the festival this week, but we'll see how we go. Hello, Kieran. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Marissa. How are you going?
Lovely to have you. I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit better.
Yeah. Plenty of ginger tea, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's really commendable and it's so lovely that you wanted to come onto the show anyway. And last week we were talking about the Youth Justice Bill. Can you comment on that and tell us a little bit of background and what your views are about that as a First Nations lived experience?
Yeah, no worries. So, just for any of the listeners who might not be fully around what's happening up there at the moment, the new Liberal minister that's just come in, Finocchio, she's trying to reintroduce spithoods, and she's lowering the age of criminal responsibility from 12 back down to 10. So, essentially, we're going to be seeing Aboriginal children as young as 10 locked up in cells and, these spithoods being used again. Absolutely horrendous, disgusting measure, these spithoods, especially using them on the youth. There's just such a degrading, dehumanising tactic to use, and it's something that most countries have actually banned the use of. But here we are trying to use them on 10-year-old kids up in the NT.
It's really bad. And in fact, I think what's happening over there is that this newly elected premier is going to be doing more police powers, isn't she? And introduce spit hoods back in. Is that right?
Yeah. So originally, you know, there was a lot of campaigning from right across the continent that went into trying to raise the age and trying to ban the use of spit hoods. Now, there was some success in that, but it wasn't necessarily something that was legislated. It was more just a policy that was introduced that they would, you know, stop using spit hoods. But now, you know, she's promised as a part of her whole electoral campaign, actually, that, you know, she would remove these policies and, you know, re-allow the use of these spit hoods again. And it's absolutely just, you know, disgusting measures. You know, some of the viewers might be familiar with some of the pictures that were going around, you know, a few years ago of some of the Aboriginal youth up there, you know, in spit hoods, chained up to chairs in shackles. It's sort of pictures that you would see coming out of somewhere like Guantanamo Bay. But these are our youth, you know, literally children.
It's a form of torture, isn't it? And it really looks at... This is all about ongoing colonisation and genocide.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is, actually. I was actually having this discussion earlier today. But, you know, when we look at Australia, Australia is an occupation. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's a colonial occupation, and it's a colonial occupation that very much weaponises the military and, you know, uses the military to uphold the occupation here, and especially places in the Northern Territory. You know, we look back in 2007 when they introduced the Northern Territory Emergency Response, Northern Territory Intervention as it's known, where they literally rolled the Australian Defence Force into Aboriginal communities so that they could go in there, extinguish land rights, extinguish native title grants, and they could acquire more minerals and, you know, more forest to log for billionaire corporations. And it's just been an ongoing thing ever since the British first touched down here, you know, 230 odd years ago. It's just been one thing after another, using the military against our people. And, you know, it really does tie in to what's happening in NAM this week with the whole anti-military resistance stuff going on.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, at the moment there is a Land Forces Expo going to be happening this week. Land Forces Expo, it's a big expo where a lot of different military from around the world come together, as well as a lot of weapons manufacturers and weapons providers and suppliers, et cetera, et cetera. And it's more or less a big expo where they can get together. They can, you know, showcase all their latest weapons and all their latest weapons technology and military technology, and make deals and contracts with each other to provide each other with all sorts of arms and weapons technology. You know, and all these weapons and all this technology is going to be used in places like Israel and Palestine conflict. Is going to be used in, you know, places like West Papua by the Indonesians. You know, it's going to be used all over the world to commit genocides and displacement against Indigenous people. So, you know, it's very important that it is something that, you know, is stopped and is disrupted. But, yeah, it's, you know, happening this week. There's a lot of stuff on social media about it. Encourage people to, you know, check it out, you know, get involved how and where they can. But, yeah, you know, going back to what I was just saying, like, Australia is such a militarised place itself, and not just in the support that it supplies across the world to the oppression and genocide of the global south, but even right here on this colony to this day. You know, my own community of Wreck Bay, we've had the Navy up there for a couple of decades now, leaching PFAS, which is a horrible, horrible chemical which causes all sorts of cancers and sterilities and birth defects, etc., etc. They've been leaching this into our water supply and into our food supplies up there for decades. You know, this is chemical warfare. It's still going. It's still happening against our people. You know, you look out in South Australia, you look out in Western Australia where they've got rocket ranges, where they're testing all sorts of missiles on our people's country, blowing up our sacred sites, blowing up our communities, you know, destroying the ecology out there. It's absolutely horrendous what's happening on this continent.
Exactly, and Australia is a crime scene, and basically this week, and this really ties in with the protest, doesn't it, Karen? So it's protesting the largest weapons conference and expo in the Southern Hemisphere this week at the Melbourne Exhibition Centre and funded by the state of Victoria.
Yeah, exactly, you know, funded by the state of Victoria. You know, the colony's got blood all over its hands, not just here but right across the world.
I mean, 1,800 Victoria police officers, one-tenth of all cops in the state, will be deployed to protect the conference this week.
Mm.
Going back to Alice Springs, and I know last week I interviewed Arnie Megan about Banksia Hill and some of the youth suicides that happened there. There have been curfews in Alice Springs, haven't there?
Yeah, there have been.
What do you think about that?
Oh, look, this is exactly what we're talking about, again, with militarisation. You know, what sort of country has curfews for an entire demographic of people? You know, up in places like Alice Springs and other communities as well across the Northern Territory and Western Australia, even in Queensland too, I believe, there's, you know, curfews on blackfellas where, you know, we're not talking about as well blackfellas that have, you know, prior convictions or, you know, blackfellas that are criminals or anything like that. We're talking about on just blackfellas in general, curfews. You can't be out past certain times. You can't be in certain areas at certain times. You know, these are literally apartheid-style laws. And these are literally like the controlling of the movement that we see within military occupations around the west of the world. And it's happening right here in our own backyard.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then, you know, other stuff as well, like, you know, if I can just quickly touch on the recent compensation that was awarded up there. So, you know, again, for anyone who's not familiar, the Northern Territory recently settled a class action case around the stolen wages. Stolen wages being the government's polite way of saying slavery for First Nations people over, you know, four decades or more across the Northern Territory. But, you know, they've awarded, I think it was something like $202 million, right? But, you know, I was crunching the numbers last night, and once you remove the $22 million in fees, there's $180 million that has been awarded for 38 years of slavery for the entire Aboriginal population up there. Now, when you actually break that down and, you know, you actually look at who's eligible and who can claim and, you know, who was a part of those stolen wages, essentially these people are going to get something like $900 for a year's worth of work. You know, essentially,
did they win it?
Yeah, they won it. But, like,
but not properly.
I wouldn't use the word win because
no.
You know, they're going to be compensated the equivalent of one fortnightly Centrelink payment for an entire year's worth of work. And, you know, people that are able to claim on all 38 years of these stolen wages are going to get something like three quarters of what one yearly minimum wage is in Australia. Yeah, an entire lifetime's worth of work and they're getting three quarters of a minimum wage from 1 year.
What a national disgrace, Kieran.
Exactly, a national disgrace. It's slavery. And, you know, when you actually break it down and you actually look at it, we would have been compensated more financially if they had given us rations of flour and salt. But that's the days that we're still in. You know, their equivalent of what they're giving us is rations of flour and salt.
It's always history repeating itself, isn't it? I mean, it's interesting how often what tends to happen, a lot of these media, mainstream media outlets, oh, but that's the past. It's not the past. There are still some very, very tragic and traumatic connections connected to now, 2024.
Yeah, and a lot of it's still ongoing as well. You know, not just the intergenerational trauma, but a lot of the traumatic events are still happening to this day. And, you know, a lot of our land's still being snatched up, our sacred sites are still being blown up, our children are still being removed at equivalent rates of the stolen generations. You know, our people are the most incarcerated people in the entire world.
Absolutely. Now, Kieran, we were going to have Ned at the beginning and now he's appeared. he's actually down, I think, at the military car. You know how they've got the cars there, the land destruction?
Oh, yeah.
Protest. Yep. So I'm hoping to catch him really soon. I missed your company in the studio today, but doesn't mean you can't come back at any time. Anything else that you want to tell us before we finish about the Northern Territory and about the what's happening over there with the youth?
Oh, look, I just, you know, really implore people to you know, jump online, have a bit of investigation. There's so much stuff to learn about this. And there's so many issues that are happening up there. And all of these issues are only happening because they've been manufactured by the state itself. You know, they're putting so much money into youth detention when a fraction of that money could prevent all of those youths from going down that track to land them in detention in the first place.
Absolutely. Kieran, thank you so much for coming onto the program and I hope you get better really soon and hopefully we can have you back again soon.
Yeah, thanks. Teresa. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Yeah.
And that was Karen from the president of the Black People's Union speaking about a host of things, namely being about the Youth Justice Bill and what's happening in the Northern Territory.
Be stronger in denouncing what imperialism is doing to us and around the world.
Because the future belongs to all of us.
No social improvement, no victory is achieved without struggle.
And together, we will hold these fuckers accountable.
Disrupt land forces. 3CR continues to amplify frontline voices in a powerful stand against the global arms trade with a united call for peace. Tune in from the 8th to the 14th of September for our special coverage on the events with 8 a.m. updates and interviews on 3CR Breakfast, live from the front lines of resistance. You can listen back to our full coverage by visiting 3cr.org.au/DLF2024. Disrupt Land Forces special coverage, 8th to the 14th of September on your radical community radio, 3CR.
And this is the Do and Time Show, in case you've just tuned in. And it's Marissa with you for the next less than an hour now, and it's approximately 4:16, and we're speaking now very soon with Ned Hargrave, who's the Wapiri elder, and Jempi Jimpa, and he is from both those lands, and he's travelled down for the Festival of Resistance this week and spoke at Camp Somfrity as well, and we'll hear some audio later on. And we're going to be speaking with Ned very soon about the fatal shooting of Kumanjo Walker and looking at some of the demands of the First Nations campaign. Hi, Ned. Welcome.
Hello. This is Ned Hargrave Jambijenba. How are we?
Oh, okay. And you, where are you at the moment?
Where are we?
Where are you?
What?
Are you there?
We at the motorcade. Naya. So, we just right here, we just arrived. And, I'm just on the radio.
That's great. Yeah. So you're at the land. That's really good. Tell us, you went to Camp Somfrity last night at the Sacred Fire, and you gave a beautiful speech.
I went there, and it was powerful. It was great to meet other Indigenous people and from the communities and stuff. It was great. It was so great.
Are you are the grandfather of Kumanjo Walker?
I am Wanderi.
Yep.
I'm a uncle, and I have a very, very special connection with him.
Yes. Yeah, I can tell that. That's really wonderful. And it's good to have that connection. So can you tell us, I'd like to talk to you about what happened and some of the demands of the campaign.
Well, right now there are police on each side, on the other side and on this side. So we're in a tight, thing. But what we're saying is please to put down your guns. Do away with the bullets.
Yep.
And we're saying, Karinjala, Mojari, meaning ceasefire.
That's exactly right. Because he was killed unnecessarily. It was no good.
Back home, everybody thought that the bullets were made overseas or something. I don't know. But the bullets are made here in Australia. And this is in right here. This is what's happening. And the bullet that killed him is bullet from here. And we didn't know that. That's why we need to find more. We need to know more about about all these things that have occurred to us in Australia. And we want to be sure and to be aware what is happening. And we don't want bullets. We don't want rifles. We don't want anybody being shot. No more. Karinjala, Mawajari.
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter. And in fact, look, no killing is necessary. I'm just saying that there's too many police killings and genocide, and history repeats itself all the time with First Nations people.
Yes, it's repeating itself over and over and over. We are so sick and tired of it, you know? We are so sick and tired of it. Especially black people getting shot. You know, our young people have being shot and all that. And we're saying enough is enough.
Exactly. And there've been frontier wars, haven't there, all over this country. And I was just reading the statement on the website there. And in 1928, NT Police Constable George Murray shot and killed hundreds of the family members across the Central Desert during yes. the massacre, yes. didn't it?
Yes, yes. How cruel it was and how disgusting it is to keep going for what they're doing. It is so disgusting.
We can never forget what happened.
We are fighting for our people. This cannot keep going. Because enough is enough.
And funds should instead be redirected to community-controlled alternatives, yes. like night patrols and community mediation.
There should be no guns.
No guns.
There should be no guns in remote communities. Why do they need guns in the community? Because, you know, you don't see a black man walking around with a spear 24 hours. That is not on.
Australia is a crime scene.
Yes, Australia is a crime scene. Yes. It is a crime scene because they like doing things like this. They want to put us down. They want to stop us from anything, you know, and not have their way. You know, we don't want their ways to go and go take it somewhere else, do it somewhere else. Or, you know, or have the bullets.
Exactly.
Bullets made in their backyard or go back, you know, go to the minister or someone, you know, the prime minister. Yeah.
It's really important that Aboriginal people take control of helping the young people. And if the police had allowed it.
Yes. That's what we want to do. What we want to do. We want to protect our children, our young people, our community, so that we have an environment of peace and people, young people, to enjoy everything that they are required to do. Huh?
Exactly. And then we go up to 2019, 1788 all over again, with Cominjay Walker being killed like this.
Yes, they just never stop. It should stop.
I'm glad that you are going to be able to go to the festival.
Yes.
Go on.
I am very honoured to be here with people here and that are fighting against these people. You know, crime scene in Australia is disgusting. It is disgusting.
And also, the last thing is that there's over-policing, isn't there, in the Northern Territory?
Yes, it's always the police that are of doing their duty, and sometimes it's don't need it. We don't need them, you know.
The statement, your statement also says that it's important to evict police who do not cooperate with local community or respect decision-making authority.
Yo, that's it. Yes.
Ned, it's just been so wonderful to have you on the show. I'm, and it was lovely to meet you earlier on as well in the at the station.
Yeah, well, look, like I said, I am honoured to be here, and of the the people that I, the friends and the people that I know, I want to be with them and be take part of them, because I am sick and tired of these arrogants who always want to destroy our people, our land. And, you know, it is disgusting.
Very disgusting.
Yes.
Ned, thank you so much for coming onto the program, and I'm hoping that I can speak to you again at a later date.
No, you are most welcome. You are most welcome, yes.
I hope you felt comfortable.
I am. I'm not worried about the police. I'm not scared. I'm just...
No, it's all good.
I just want to be with my people. That's all.
That's exactly right. Well, thank you, Ned, and enjoy the rest of your week, and great that you were able to come to the festival. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
And that was Ned Hargrave, who is a special relative of Kumanjai Walker and has been doing a lot of work on the campaign to stop having guns in remote communities and also police powers. And we talked a lot about the massacre of 1928 as well. It's approximately 4:26, and I'm just going to go into another announcement, and then we will bring you the audio from Camp Sovereignty.
The biggest weapons fair in the Southern Hemisphere is coming to Naarm. Land forces will run at the Melbourne Convention Centre. All arms dealers will be there. So will we. From the 8th to the 14th of September, we are mobilising to disrupt land forces. This is where the generals, weapons CEOs, diplomats and defence ministers come together to do the deals that end in genocide. We plan to shut that shit down. Elbit, Lockheed, Hanwha, Boeing, Thales, Naya, the biggest weapon makers in the world, will be there to grab their piece of the genocide pie. Join the collaboration to disrupt land forces. We support all cultures, genders, ages, ability and protest styles. Connect with us. Disruptlandforces.org. Join the mobilisation from the 8th to the 14th of September to stop arming Israel and put a stop to this genocide shock. Disrupt Land Forces is a 3CR supporter.
And you're back with the Do and Time show. Next up, we'll be listening to some recordings from last night's event, starting with Megan Cracker, Menang woman of Noongar Nation and Director of National Suicide Prevention Trauma Recovery Project. And after that, to Walapiri Elder, Jempi Jimpa, Uncle Ned Hargraves, both of whom travelled down for the Festival of Resistance this week. And Megan's speech features explicit discussion of police killings, colonial violence, First Nations suicides and youth suicides. And also a special thank you to Michaela and also Karina for helping me to prepare for the show.
There's a lady over here that's come all the way from the West. Her name is Megan, and we'd love her to come and bless the microphone for us with stories from the West. Here we go.
Very blessed and honoured to be here, the land of the Wadjuri people of the Kulin Nation. The speaks that we just heard, geez, how powerful. The songs that we just heard goes straight to the heart. I remember as a young person growing up, listening to the stories of Mum, Dad, rest in peace, the old people, about caring for country, the Aboriginal sites, the old stories. And I think where we are today, in terms of the poverty that a lot of our people live in, the entrenched poverty, where 40% of our people fall below the poverty line right across the country. I think about the decimation period when people first came here in 1788, the smashing of cultures, the hurt, the atrocities, the genocides, the kicking of children, their heads off in the sand. The stuff that we've been subjected to, yet we still survive. We are one. It's about that humanity, that kindness, that love. Do away with the capitalism, because that is killing people. There is a classist narrative, not only that exists here in Australia, but indeed right across the world. The mass destructions that are happening, what's happening at the convention centre, over 1,000 organisations coming together from 31 countries, where deals, as you heard, will be made. And that those deals, the genocidal of our people, right across the country, the weapons will be used. There's companies that will come to this place and they manufacture bullets that kill our people. I think about Joycey Clark, rest in peace, who was shot by a police officer in the town of Geraldton. Joyce Clark. She leaves behind one child, the only little child she had. But she was shot point blank range by an officer. And he ran, he was the last person on site, one of the most junior people in the team. Went straight to her, within seconds, she was gone. And this is what these people who are coming to this convention centre will be about as well, the bullets that are killing our people. I was sat through the murder trial with Aunty Ann Jones. I sat through the coronial inquest 6 weeks ago with Aunty Ann Jones, and the tears and the hurt and the trauma still is with her today. It is with all our community right across the country. Why? Because we have been oppressed. I don't dance to the tune of the oppressors. I dance to the tune of the oppressed. My colleague and I, we've worked with over 30,000 people right across the country, the most marginalised, the vulnerable, the forgotten, the unheard, the silence, the prisons where there's 132 castle estates. And we've heard the stories and we've seen it firsthand, and it is cruel. In a very affluent country like Australia, the 12th richest economy in the world, we live in third world akin conditions. Third world akin conditions. The 120 remote communities right across the country, the 120,000 people, 40,000 children will never get a secondary education in this so-called lucky country, Australia. The suicides are ripping through our country, one after the next, after the next, after the next. I've been at bedsides when life support machines have been turned off on 11-year-old children. 15-year-old children, 18-year-old children, 19-year-old children, and it breaks my heart. I stand in the hospitals, along the corridors, when the life support machines are turned off in the sea of grief of our people. What can we do? First Nations suicides right across the country has gone from 1 in 23 to 1 in 16, making it the leading cause of death for our people in this country. 10,000 brothers and sisters right across this great country of Australia within 3 years have taken their lives. The Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, with the 339 recommendations, some at the federal level, state, territory, they haven't been implemented. And we sit back and we listen to this two-tiered government party, the Liberals, the Labor. Who's better? Because what's happening with our brothers and sisters in Palestine is absolutely atrocious. It's cruel, it's harrowing, and it's unforgivable. Little babies crying for their lives, little children crying for their lives, the mums and the dads trying to protect their little children, only for their lives to be taken. In fact, 42,000 people. That's not what we're about. Where is the love and the kindness and the humanity? Where is the strength of this government in Australia to say, no, that is not right, that is genocide? We cannot stand idly by and accept this as a country. We don't see it. They don't support. And that is wrong in every single sense. I've said to many politicians, oi, you might think you got that job forever, but let me tell you something. We are born to die. And when you have relevancy, and when you have power, and when you have places where you can be influential, why wouldn't you be? This Australian government is complicit in the murders in Palestine. It is complicit with the murders of First Nations people here in this country. They say that they care, and the Labor government says we leave no one behind. Well, I beg to differ. I've seen it through my eyes with my own family. The hurt, the pain, the sadness that is entrenched. No way forward, no hope, but treated like we're a second citizen in our own country. We are a powerful people. The First Nations people are the powerful people in this country. We have survived. We have that strong resilience, that love for our people, that incredible diversity, that respect for each other. And whilst the government want to turn around and continue to oppress, our voices will continue to rise. The same as it has risen with the Palestinians. The same as it has risen with many movements, not only in Western Australia, not only in this country, but across the world. We must continue to rise. We are one. We are brothers and sisters of the human family, and we must care about each other. But we will fight with conviction. We will fight with conviction because it's not just about our people that are living today. It is about our children. It is about our generations that are yet to be born. We cannot stand idly by and let this continue to happen. I'm so glad to be over here in this beautiful place with all you wonderful people. And I'm so glad to be participating in these rallies and the protests and let this land forces know that we will not be silenced. We will not go away. And we will continue to fight back with every breath in our bodies because they are doing wrong. Love and respect to you all as one. Solidarity.
Good evening. Thank you very much once again to come back and share something with your people, for your lovely people, our brothers and sisters. Thank you so much to having me here today to talk about this law enforcement thing. So all the time, again and again, we repeat ourselves again and again and again. We are sick of it. I'm sorry I'm shouting, but it makes me so, so angry when we hear what's happening to our people, to our children, and what's not given It's not enough. Not enough. But, you know, people, my people in Central Desert, we don't get enough information what's happening here. What's happening here in Australia, in Melbourne and Brisbane and wherever, but we don't get enough because there are people that don't want to share with us what we need to know. And again, to us, it's really, really sad. It's really not good. But the thing is, they don't ever consult with us. You know, we Yapa, we are indigenous. This wind is blowing this way now. I don't want to get electrocuted. Sorry. Gotcha. Anyway, all these things are Agaria's ideas because they want to destroy Jogorba, our Kurawari. The trees, the plants, everything that's around us belongs to the Nguru, Walya, Jogorba, Kurawari. That's important to us, very important. And you know that. But Kareya, who are wanting something, they want minerals and everything. They want to destroy us, not telling us or giving us something, not helping us. So they want to try and get rid of us, all of us. And nothing is left behind. That's what the old plan with Kareya. When I say Kareya, meaning white people. Can you say that? Kareya! Can you say that again one more so I can hear you? Kareya! Ma, thank you very much. Thank you very much. But again, it's telling us that we as traditional owners, we as this Australia, they're telling us that we don't exist. That is completely rubbish, completely rubbish. It is rubbish. Because my Chukarpa, my Growari belongs here, right here. Right here. And I want to leave with you that, you know, all these things that we have Jogorba Growari and we got guns that made here, bullets made here, and the bullets that are made here, some of our people, some of our children, and being shot. And that's not what we want. It is really, really kunta, meaning shame. It's really shame. Yeah. Right, if I may, number one, can I get my guitar? I'll sing you one song. Yeah. All right? Hello, people. All right. I'm going to sing it first, and then later on I might get you guys to sing with me. How about we clap our hands? Angela Moa Jare me Kari that ain't me. James, full of our children, you said the broken law. We cannot stand it. We can't know it. Our Lord was here before your reach, our shore. Let's sing it together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.
And that was a song and speech by Jammy Jimper, Uncle Ned Hargraves, and before that by Megan Cracker, speaking last night at the official launch event called Lest We Forget, the Frontier Wars for Disrupt Land Forces 2024 Festival of Resistance, held at Camp Sovereignty, protesting the largest weapons conference an expo in the Southern Hemisphere this week at the Melbourne Exhibition Centre and funded by the State of Victoria. It's approximately 4:46 and, yeah, I'm just really honoured to have done this show and to have brought listeners this audio, which was recorded by Pillar. And thank you, Pillar, for making this recording possible.
There's a lady over here that's come all the way from the west.
The biggest weapons fair in the Southern Hemisphere is coming to Naarm. Land forces will run at the Melbourne Convention Centre. All arms dealers will be there. So will we. From the 8th to the 14th of September, we are mobilising to disrupt land forces. This is where the generals, weapons CEOs, diplomats and defence ministers come together to do the deals that end in genocide. We plan to shut that shit down. Elbit, Lockheed, Hanwha, Boeing, Thales, Naya, the biggest weapon makers in the world, will be there to grab their piece of the genocide pie. Join the collaboration to disrupt land forces. We support all cultures, genders, ages, ability and protest styles. Connect with us. Disruptlandforces.org. Join the mobilisation from the 8th to the 14th of September to stop arming Israel and put a stop to this genocide shop. Disrupt Land Forces is a 3CR supporter.
Listen back to Beyond the Bars 2024 prison broadcasts on the 3CR website, 3cr.org.au/beyondthebars2024. Our all-black presenter team take you inside six Victorian prisons, Dame Phyllis Frost, Barwon, Fulham, Loddon, Marganite and Port Phillip, to hear stories, songs, opinions and poems from Aboriginal inmates on NAIDOC Week 2024. Connecting the participants, culture and community, and to keep the fire burning, black, loud and proud. Go to 3cr.org.au/beyondthebars for all the details.
My skin.
And you're back with the Doin' Time Show, 3CR Community Radio. And it's approximately 4:52. And thank you to Karen for coming onto the show. And it was also really great to air the audio from Camp Sovereignty. And if you want to know more about the campaign to in the NT, in the Northern Territory, that Ned is Hargrave is leading with other First Nations elders, yeah, check that out, because there's quite a few demands there about having no guns in remote communities and Black Lives Matter. But before I go, I just wanted to just alert listeners to a few things that police are doing during the conference there. Rock up there. I've played quite a few announcements in regards to the expo and the land disrupt protests that are happening this week, the 8th to the 14th of September. So basically 1,800 Victoria police officers, as I said earlier, one-tenth of all cops in the state will be deployed to protect the conference this week. They have announced that within a certain radius around the conference, police will have special powers to stop and search a person or vehicle without a warrant, direct a person to leave the area if wearing a face covering. Aren't we supposed to be still wearing masks because of the COVID? And more, the face covering part is notable since it cites reasons for going so as to either conceal their identity or protect them from the effects of a crowd control substance. The IBAC review into police deployment of OC or capsicum spray earlier this year found its deployment by VicPol beyond its lawfully permitted use, and that they frequently use it as a coercive tool or where there is no immediate or proportionate threat to police officers or the public. And contact the Melbourne Activist Legal Support response to IBAC findings and have a look at the website there. It's always good to know your rights. And, yeah, rock up to that conference on the 8th to the 14th of September. And it's goodbye from Marissa. I'll be leaving you shortly. And stay tuned every Monday for the Doin' Time Show, 4 to 5. And, yeah, in solidarity to Palestine as well and to Indigenous people. It's all connected. And Australia is a crime scene. It's approximately 4:55, and we're going to be going out now with our theme song, Black Fella, White Fella, by the Rumpy Band. And see you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.